Good afternoon. I'm Herm Krabanoff, and I'm subbing for Trent McCotter, who was not able to make it to the convention this year, and therefore cannot chair the Records Committee meeting. And so I'm doing that in his stead. I asked Trent if there was anything I should announce to the to our fellow members who do attend, and he said there was nothing on that he wanted to relate to us. If anyone has any things they want to mention to Trent, I guess the best thing to do is to send him an email. Trent also asked me, yes. Yes, this is the Records Committee.
A few years ago, I went to a game at Nationals Park.
Yes.
Hugh Gonzalez was pitching for the Nationals, and he got the first 11 outs by ground balls. And I sent a question in to Sabre Bell if this was a record. I never got an answer. I mean, nobody replied.
So who did you send it to?
Sabre Bell.
Oh, all right, Sabre, well, so...
Nobody replied. I'm just wondering if that's never come up before. It may have been a strikeout or something, but not a strikeout. It may have been a hit or something. But the first 11 outs that Gio got at the start of the game were all ground balls.
Okay. I don't know if that's a record. If you send it to Saberell, whoever reads it and can answer it or want to answer it, they will do it. If they don't, they don't. Yeah. But there's no guarantee you'll get a response. Yeah, so. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's.
George Will, in his book Men at Work, talks about the game where all the outs, and I can't remember, I read it a long time ago, I can't remember, but they were all infield, right? You know, first base plays, or they were all fly balls, one or the other. It only happened one time.
And there was, I got the book, there were four parts to the book. And the defense was the perhaps?
You know, I don't remember, but it was in that book, right? Somewhere in there he talks about this one game where all the putouts were either all fly balls or all ground balls.
So no strikeouts.
Or
caught stealings or stuff like that, yeah. Okay, well, interesting. So Trent asked me to give a presentation at our meeting, and so that's what I'm doing now. We'll give the presentation, answer any questions about what I'm talking about, or anything else about baseball records, and then we'll go on. So I'm gonna talk about Ty Cobb's RBI record, and what I'm gonna do is give a survey of the numbers that are out there for his career RBIs, and obviously we'll talk about some of his individual season RBIs. And to start, let me mention something that's been recently said about RBIs. To win games, you have to drive runs in. I know right now there's a lot of geniuses that don't want to give credit to RBIs. That was stated by Albert Pujols on May 9th after he got his 2000th career RBI. And then at the same time, his manager, Brad Ausmus, stated, "I know in this day and age, people say RBIs are a product of opportunity, but guys like Albert drive people in from first. He's driven himself in over 600 times, so it's extremely special." Yes?
Herm, I'd like to say Albert should apologize to me because I wrote an article in the New York Times saying he should win the MVP over Ryan Howard, who I think beat him in RBI. But they have short memories.
Yeah. So RBIs are important, certainly in my from my perspective. Let me flip to a chart here of the top dozen career leaders in RBIs from the American League. These are American League RBIs only, and a couple things we can pick up from this chart. Each of the players has more than 1,700 RBIs. That's a significant number. every player but one has at least 300 home runs, and all but two have over 450 home runs. Ty Cobb stands out as with a paltry number of 117 home runs in his career, but he ranks fourth in career AL RBIs with 1994, according to Baseball Reference, accessed just the other day. I want to switch now into measuring RBIs, and there are two periods of RBIs. There's the seasons from prior to 1920, where RBIs were not recorded officially. And then there's a period from 1920 forward where RBIs were recorded officially. For the period from before 1920, there are four sources of RBI information. The first source was carried out by Ernie Lanigan. Contemporaneously, from 1907 through 1919, he kept track of RBIs for presumably all players, or certainly most players, and reported them in the Sporting News or other newspapers, the New York Press, for instance. And that was the source of RBI information for the period 1907 through 1919 until the end of the 1960s. Because during the mid-60s, David S. Neft directed a team of researchers who came up with RBI numbers from 1901 through 1919, actually from 1891 through 1919, but the American League from 1901 through 1919. And they were reported in the first edition of Big Mac. There's a symposium going on, I think, tomorrow about Big Mac, the 50th anniversary of the Baseball Encyclopedia published by Macmillan. And then in the 2010s, the 2010s, RetroSheet has been working on RBIs for the period from 1919 backward. Tom Ruane has been the project manager for that effort, and so right now they're back to 1905. And pretty much at the same time, I have been doing retroactive RBI research, primarily for the Detroit Tigers players, and I'm also back to 1905, or almost finished to 1905. My effort and RetroSheet's effort are independent, but they're totally cooperative. So the RetroSheet box scores from 1919 back to 1905 now include RBIs for most of the games, but not all the games. And I've filled in the blanks for most of those games, those missing RBI games for the Detroit Tigers. So for the period from 1906 through 1919, as originally released, there were 796 games without RBIs for the Detroit Tigers. And now there are 27, only 27 left. For 1905, just released, there are 67 games without RBIs. My research, which is not yet complete, I have only 15 games without RBI data. And what we do is I provide all the evidence and documentation that I've accumulated to support my RBI numbers to Tom Ruane and Dave Smith. They go through it independently. And we achieve 100% agreement on the RBIs, and then they get incorporated into the RetroSheet database. If you look at this chart, you'll notice that, for instance, in the American League right now, there's almost 3,000 games from 1905 through 1919 without RBIs data. There's a lot of holes there. The St. Louis Browns have over 700. Likewise, Cleveland and the Philadelphia Athletics have over 600. So there's a lot of room for work. I encourage everyone here and your friends to get involved, to join the effort. It's rewarding, sometimes challenging, sometimes even frustrating, but it's not that hard to do. And here's the let me see here. What's next here? The procedure that I follow to fill in the blanks for RetroSheet and to get the information that I want myself. It's a two-step process. The first step is to utilize game accounts from multiple newspapers for each game played by the Tigers in a given season to obtain complete details for each run. And by complete details, I mean you determine the identity of the person who scored a run, the run scoring event, an RBI double, a balk, a stolen steal of home, etc., and the identity of the batter who batted during the run scoring event. Well, now, if it's a wild pitch, then obviously the batter is there is no batter during a wild pitch. The second step is I provide the complete documentation to RetroSheet, to Tom and Dave, for their independent review, and then we do achieve 100% agreement. Sometimes, I also mentioned that sometimes the RBIs that are in the RetroSheet box scores are, according to my research, not accurate. And much of the RBI information that... Well, it's just that's the way it is. But we go through it, and then we do achieve 100% agreement. The bottom line for this two-step procedure is that accurate RBI numbers for games gives accurate RBI numbers for seasons, gives accurate RBI numbers for careers. So, now I've had a lot of help over the years in doing this research, and I want to acknowledge those people now. There's a lot of them. They're listed here alphabetically. Some people have been especially helpful to me multiple times, and they're shown with asterisks, a pair of asterisks before their name and after their name. Tom Rewain, Dave Smith, and Pete Palmer have been very helpful to me. Tom and Dave, especially with reviewing the data that I put together for the RBIs. Some other individuals have been very helpful are Steve Boren, Keith Carlson, Dave Newman, Gary Stone, and Dixie Tarangio, who have provided me with countless numbers of play-by-plays and scans of games from newspapers that they have access to. So thank you all so very much again. All right, let's start with... Ty Cobb's RBIs during the dead ball era, and the first results on that, or first information on that, is from Ernie Lanigan, and his numbers are shown here on the left, the first column. The column should actually be titled Lanigan McConnell, because Lanigan did not start keeping track of RBIs until 1907. Bob McConnell did it on his own back in 1964, so 5 years before Big Mac was published, and came up with 12 for 1905 and 41 for 1906. And so I've indicated Bob's four-star work there with asterisks before and after the numbers there. For his dead ball era career, Ty Cobb, according to Lanigan McConnell, had 1,232 RBIs. In 1969, Neft published his RBI research in Big Mac, and you can see that there's only two years where Neft's RBIs equal the RBIs that Lanigan had. Neff's RBIs do not agree with the RBIs that McConnell did. Okay? So according to Neff, Cobb had 1,211 RBIs in his dead ball era career. Now we'll look at retrosheet. Now there actually are two sources of RBI or statistical information on retrosheet. There's the player's profile page, which I term here as retrosheet PP. The information in the retrosheet player profile page is primarily from Pete Palmer. There's also a retrosheet player daily file, which it will be the last column I present. That is based on retrosheet data, play-by-play or box score data. It does not have, it does not give you the season total. It tells you only game by game what the player achieved in his various stats, at bats, runs, hits, etc. Okay, so for the RetroSheets player profile page, we see this for Ty Cobb. There are, and for his dead ball era time, there are four seasons where RetroSheets numbers do not agree with Neff's numbers. Okay, but now Palmer, when he put together his database, he used Neff's numbers in creating his database, unless there were some changes or corrections that he could that he would insert. And he did that for the four seasons that are shown here. For instance, for 1906, he used Bob McConnell's numbers. I don't know why he didn't use McConnell's number for 1905, but he didn't, or hasn't yet. He his numbers are also different for the 1917, 18, and 19 seasons. And the reason that they're different is because Pete has incorporated my RBI numbers for those three seasons, because they're, my numbers are correct. So they're there. He hasn't, for, I don't know for what reason, but he hasn't gotten back to the corrections for the seasons prior to 1917. All right? And so according to RetroSheet right now, Ty Cobb, the player profile page for Ty Cobb for the dead ball era, it's 1,217 RBIs. All right? Here's my results. I think the first thing you'll notice from my numbers is that for three seasons I show a range of RBIs. For 1914 I showed Cobb with 54 to 58. For 1915, 101 to 106. And for 1917, 106 to 108. Why do I have a range for those three seasons? The answer is because I don't know. I can't. The game accounts in the newspapers don't allow me to assign RBI credit with 100% confidence for each run scored. Let me illustrate that with this game from 1914, September 6th, Detroit versus St. Louis. The Tigers scored 13 runs. And I checked eight daily newspapers, four from Detroit, four from St. Louis. Let's go through a little bit of this here. For the first inning, Detroit scored two runs, and the only information on this on those two first inning runs is from the Free Press. In the first, Detroit scored got two on Vitt's single, Cobb's double, and a blow by Veach. Now, you can. I don't. I'd be interesting to take a poll here and see what you come up with RBIs there. But there are at least two possibilities. One is Vitt singled and Cobb doubled them home, and then Veach's blow knocked in Cobb. So Veach and Cobb each get one RBI. But it's also likely, possible, that Cobb's double advanced Vitt to third base, and Veach's blow knocked them both in. So no RBIs for Cobb and 2-4 for Veach. What's not stated there in that Free Press blurb is that Sam Crawford batted between Cobb and Veach. And we don't know what he did. It could be that Crawford had a hand in the run and batting in either Vitt or Cobb. Don't know that. Not likely, but we don't know it. So there's an uncertainty there. For the fourth inning, thank goodness, the Detroit News, not commonly, but occasionally, put in a batter-by-batter, play-by-play for the 8 runs scored in the fourth inning. So we know that. I mean, that's and on top of that, the Free Press, Detroit Journal, and the St. Louis Republic corroborated what's in the Detroit News play-by-play, batter-by-batter. So, I mean, it all makes sense. There's also the fifth inning when Detroit scored 1 run, and the seventh inning when Detroit scored 2 runs, and there's nothing at all. I mean, as I said, the Tigers scored a run in the fifth inning, but that's it. No other details. So that's the way it's sit. That's, you know, there's uncertainty there. Now, this is also a challenge. We can play detective here, like Holmes or Poirot, and try to take the information that is there and come up with what's possible. Okay, and so here's what my sleuthing came up with. This is the players are listed here in their batting lineup order. Bush, Vitt, Cobb, Crawford, High took over late in the game. Veach, Heilman took over late in the game. Burns, Moriarty, Stanage, Baker late in the game, and then the pitcher Cabot. And so all the players, with the exception of Cabot, the starting players except for Cabot, have a range of RBIs. Because we just don't know. We know Cabot has exactly 0 RBIs because he did not bat in the first inning where a run was scored. He did not bat in the run in the fourth inning because we know that play by play. He did not bat a run in the fifth or the seventh inning because a sidebar in the Detroit Free Press says he struck out in the fifth and seventh innings, first batting right-handed, then batting left-handed. So we know he did not bat in a run. That's fact. That's unassailable fact. The other starting players, they're all ranges. For instance, for Cobb, he may have batted in Vitt in the first inning, so that's 1 run. Or not, he may not have. He did bat in a run in the fourth inning because he got a bases-loaded walk. There is 1 RBI for certain that he got. And then for the fifth inning, he did not bat in the run. And you can deduce that that run was scored by George Burns, who batted in the sixth slot in the batting order. Cobb batted in the third slot. It is logistically impossible for Cobb to bat in Burns. Cannot do it. It's just logistically impossible. So we know he did not get an RBI in the fifth inning. For the seventh inning, Cobb could have batted in either Bush or Vitt, or both Bush and Vitt. Don't know. Logistically, he can do all of them. So, for this game, Cobb batted in 1 run, the one for certain, the one that he forced in with his bases-loaded walk. He could have batted in 2 or 3 or 4 more, a total of 2 or 3 or 4. There's one other game late in the season where Cobb had either 2 or 3 RBIs, going through the same kind of process. So, for the year, 1914, Cobb had either 54, 5, 6, 7, or 8 RBIs. I don't know which, but it's one of those. Okay? Now, if you notice, the retro sheet for 1917 shows 106 RBIs. And that's because Pete Palmer has chosen to in his database, to put in the minimum number of RBIs for in a season. So the player, Cobb, in this case, for 1917, had at least 106 RBIs. That's unassailable. But we don't know if he had more. So Pete puts in 106. And so that's what it shows. It shows that for 1917. And he's not incorporated the numbers yet, my corrections, for seasons prior to 1917. He does have 62 for 1918 and 67 for 1919. Okay? So from my research, the Cobb had, during the dead ball era, Cobb had at least 1,224 RBIs and perhaps as many as 1,235 RBIs. That's the best I can do with the data that I could come up with. Retro Sheets Player Daily File. There's you see a number of not equal signs there. And let's look at 1905 first. Remember, McConnell had 15. I'm sorry, McConnell had 12. I made a mistake there. I have 12 as well. Doggone it. Lanigan had 12. That's what I have. I copied the wrong number there. And in my column, retro sheet shows 6 right now. That's because there are 18 games without RBI, 18 Cobb games without RBIs. So, and then if you go down for retro sheet, their procedure is if the RBIs are uncertain, it's left blank. And a blank is like a zero. It's not a zero, but it's like a zero. And so when you go through this, retro sheet comes up with 1,204 RBIs for Cobb during this time period. Yeah.
We are doing this minus one.
Oh, is that right?
Which means when you're doing it, you can't just add them up because you'll get nailed in the spreadsheet. Cobb is minus one.
Okay.
So our program, we know that minus one means zero.
Okay. Okay. Now, when I did the additions here, I did not do it, you know, with a spreadsheet or thing. I did it manually. So.
Minus one means a dollar.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's the right now, retro sheet shows 1204 for Cobb's career RBIs during the dead ball era, but there are 26 games where RBI information is missing. Let's go on to 1920 and beyond. And first, let's make sure we understand the scoring rules for RBIs. Here are the scoring rules for RBIs for the period 1920 through 1930. 13 words. That's it. The summary shall contain, : the number of runs batted in by each batsman. That's it. Now that rule is fine if all the scorers are using the same criteria to credit or not credit an RBI. It wasn't that way. During this 11-year period, you will find RBIs credited for the steal of home, for grounding into a double play or not grounding into a double play. I mean, no RBI for grounding into a play. There will be times when a batter hits a home run and does not get an RBI. It's a mess. So it was not until 1931 that some specification was put into the rule. And this was in Rule 70, Section 13. Runs batted in are runs scored on safe hits, including home runs. That's not my parenthetical comment. That's the actual rule. Sacrifice hits, outfield putouts, infield putouts, and when the run is forced over by reason of the batsman becoming a base runner, i.e. a basically loaded walk. With less than two outs, if an error is made on a play on which a runner from third would ordinarily score, credit the batsman with a run batted in. Okay? So this is the rule that I follow for 1920 forward, even though this came out in 31. It's the rule that Dave and Tom also use for 1920s and the dead ball era. That's what we use. This is the rule we use. And you'll notice for this rule, it mentions nothing about double plays. Well, that's because double plays or RBIs on double plays were counted until 1939, was when the rule said no RBI for an RBI for a grounded out into the double play. All right.
That was just on ground and double play?
Ground and double play, yeah.
Whether it's force or reverse force.
Right, either one. Reverse or force or reverse force. Either one would work. Okay, so here's the information on Cobb's RBI record from 1920 through 28. 20 through 26 is with the Tigers. 27-28 is with the Athletics. And the official numbers are shown in the first column there, after the year. And the next column shows David Neff's RBIs, and they're identical. So Neff chose to use the official RBI numbers. Retrosheet is next, next column. These are Pete Palmer's numbers, and they're all the same as Ness numbers, except for 1924. Palmer shows 79, and the reason that Palmer has 79 as opposed to 74 is because I think it was Tom Ruane who discovered there was a game June 1st, 1924 where the Tigers scored 10 runs and there were no RBIs in the official records. None at all. When you go through it, when you go through the newspaper accounts, you find out that Ty Cobb batted in 4 runs that game. So I believe Tom passed that information along to Pete, and Pete put it in his database, and it appeared in the second edition of Total Baseball as 78 is a total. Then a few years later, Pete discovered there's an addition error in the official records. On page 5, Ty Cobb scored, batted in 17 runs, but the official scorer added it up to 16, and so missing a run, missing RBI. And so that was corrected in the 2003 Total Baseball. So the mathematically correct number for 1924 is 79, not 74. And so for the 1920 through 28 seasons, Ty Cobb batted in 727 runs, according to Retrosheet, which is 5 more than the 722 that Neff and the official records show. I've also looked at the period from 1920 to 28, and here's how I went about this. From the game accounts in the Detroit Free Press, I obtained the complete details for each run scored by the Tigers. If the Free Press didn't have it, I'd go for the Detroit News or some other newspaper, but I would get it. And then I compared my results with what's given in the official records and what's given in the Retrosheet box scores and play-by-plays. If there was a discrepancy, I would then get more newspaper accounts, and I would I'd get it all. And then I would I resolved the differences. I passed the information on to Dave and to Tom, and we achieve 100% agreement on what the RBI numbers are. And I want to mention that for games that Retrosheet does not have play-by-plays of, they do have RBI information because they use the official RBIs. So what's in the Retrosheet box scores from 1920 forward, if it's not accompanied by a play-by-play, it's the official RBI. Unless there's something else you should know about that's, you know, but then that would be mentioned in the Retrosheet discrepancy file. For the 1927 to 28 seasons, Retrosheet has play-by-plays for every game except for 12. And I went through a number of the play-by-play games myself with Philadelphia Inquirer game accounts. And and all the other games I went through and got multiple newspaper accounts for. So I know exactly I could compare that with the official RBI records. There was only one error that I found discrepancy that I found with Retrosheet, and Dave concurred and made the change. All right, so this is where a bookkeeping slide here. So from the 1920 through 1928, there were almost 1,400 games played by the Tigers. Retrosheet has almost 900 play-by-plays. There are 500 games without play-by-plays, and I have gotten complete details, reach run scored in those 500, well, in 499 games. There are 8 games I could not do it. Maybe have some information, but not complete. For Ty Cobb, the corresponding numbers are 1,100 games played, 700 games with Retrosheet play-by-plays, 400 without play-by-plays, just box scores, and I have the details for all but 4 of those games. So for those 4 games for Cobb that I do not have accurate RBI information, or I'd say corroborated RBI information from, we have to use the official day-by-day records. So for these four games, and one in 1920, you know that damn 1920 game, 19, 23, 25, and 28. So Cobb had 0, 0, 1, and 0 RBIs, according to official records, and that's what we have to use. That's what I have to use. And Retro Sheet does the same thing. So here's what I come up with for my RBI numbers, I only agree with two of them from Retro Sheet, which is Pete Palmer's database. You'll notice that for 1924, I have 81 RBIs. So I actually, the official records are wrong, according to me, for two more, Cobb has two more RBIs. So for the period 1920 through 28, I say that Cobb had 729 RBIs. And I can document every RBI except for those four games, and there's only one RBI in that game. Retro Sheet, the delete file, which was just released, you'll see we disagree, and that's I'll say my fault, because I didn't get the information to Dave and Tom in time for them to include it before the release. There's a difference of six. We'll know this before the next release, if history repeats itself, my guess is that we'll be on the money. If there's a change, I'll be the one making the change. So the number then for Retro Sheet right now is 723. If you look at the bottom line, for all the RBIs that Ty Cobb had in his career, it's 1954 according to the official records, which includes the McConnell Ernie Lanigan RBI numbers. Neft has 1933. Retro Sheet currently is 1944. That's going to change when we get this together with Pete. It'll be the same. It just hasn't happened, but it'll be the same. It's not a flaw, I have between 1953 and 1964, at least 1953, and Retro Sheet currently has at least 1927. But there are missing games there, and there'll be that. So. So that's the survey. I thank you all for attending my talk, and I'll thank again the people who were so helpful to me in the past. And I'll be happy to take any questions. Dave.
Sometime, I don't remember when it was, during the 20s, the official records, I think for the American League, didn't call them RBIs.
That's right.
They called them runs responsible.
That's correct.
They weren't. I never saw what they thought that meant.
The RRF is the way it's in the official sheets. So the column where the RRF is has something crossed out. I can't make out what it is. I looked at all the sheets that I have. I can't tell what they crossed out. But it's RRF is then penciled in there, or penned in there. And stolen bases, stealers of home, are that's where a number of differences are. For instance, between my looking at the box score or the RBIs and what's currently in Retro Sheet for the prior to 1927, it's just a stolen base. Cobb gets a stolen base, steals it home. It's an RRF, therefore an RBI. Neff counted it as an RBI. Okay, because it shows up in that column. In the beginning, Howe News Bureau was the official statistician of the American League, and in their official day-by-day sheets, they have RRF, which stands for runs responsible for. And if you stole home, you are responsible for that run. It makes sense, but it's... National League did not do that. National League was Elias, or Monroe, I guess, at that time called Monroe. You're right. Anything else? Okay, great. So that.
What are you, 41.89 or 41.90?
hits. That's not part of this. So that's the end of my talk. Now we'll talk about other stuff in records. Hits. He has 4,189. Yeah. So far documented. 4,189 hits.
Plus or minus, right?
Plus or minus?
4,191 plus or minus 2.
Oh, it would never go to plus 2. It would never.
It doesn't go higher than 4,192. But it might be 4,192.
Okay, I'm not aware of that. Okay.
You won't find it on our site.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. When I.
If that total is plus or minus 4 or 5, 5.
Right. When I was doing the 1908 Tigers, there was one game where Cobb hit a sacrifice fly, and we're a run scorer, but the official records show him with an at bat. That was the first year of the sacrifice fly rule, where a batter was not charged with an at bat. So that's the latest change I know of. Anything else for the records committee? Yes.
I just want to thank you for you and everyone else's diligence in this. You know, because here we have our Angels fan on Riverside, and Pujols made his way up to 2,000 RBI. A lot of consternation about, were there other people with 2,000 RBI, like Ruth and Cobb? Then again, it wasn't an official statistic by then, so assuming you guys get these guys up to 2,000 RPI would be better. Because I have, in my heart of hearts, Pujols is not the run producer that either Cobb or Ruth, I think, was.
Yeah, well, Cobb did not get the 2,000 RBIs. He did not get 2,000 RBIs. Ruth did, 22-something, 2,200, 14 of them? I forget the exact, but 2,200-something, yeah.
But they weren't counting him before 1920.
That's correct.
So there's different lists out there, you know, depending on, because it's only a stat since 1920. It's like,
right. Actually, I think only Elias is the one that has the, or people who use Elias, is the one that has Ruth with less than 2,000. I don't know what the number is.
2,000, yeah.
Yeah. Cap Anson also maybe in that. I'm not certain about him. I know Ruth's number. I can't tell you what it is now, but I did the research on it. I know he's over 2,000. Yeah. I am not. Well, I'm.
There's a number out there for you.
There is. I think there's.
Cap Anson, in different encyclopedias, Cap Anson has had 8 different career hit totals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was over 3,000, now he's out of 3,000.
Yeah. And back and forth. Yeah, yeah, I don't know, and it's hard enough getting good information from newspapers since 1900, but going back to the 1870 something or early 80s for Anson would be a nightmare. I won't tackle it. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I kind of have to register a complaint.
Okay.
As a kid growing up, I was infatuated with everything about Ty Cobb. All the negative stuff about him. He was my hero. I memorized all of his yearly batting averages and, of course, all of his season. I mean, his career numbers. Decades later, I was throwing off his numbers. Throwing off the numbers, look it up. And I was wrong. 3.7 disappeared, 21.91.
Yeah, sorry about that, sure.
You don't mind, you could do a favor to make up for it. About that same time, the last week, boy, I memorized the value of quite 100 places. Please don't mess with that number.
Yeah. Pi r squared, I think. Yeah. I had a thought, but I can't remember what I was going to say. The numbers change, but they're accurate now. I mean, they're getting, you can't get more accurate. More of the numbers are being accurate, I guess. So
the key difference in Kirby is the right word. We don't use the record sheet, doesn't use the word error. Partly because I'm not interested in getting in a fight with Elias or anybody else. Yet. Your numbers are wrong. There is no future in that conversation, and I won't do that. We need the word discrepancy. We present the numbers for which we have evidence, and I'll tell you what the evidence is, and if you don't like them, you are perfectly welcome to use some other number. I'll tell you where it came from and where we're different and why. I won't use the word error. Kern does. I think he's crazy. Discrepancy is a much more gutless way to do it. And I do it on purpose.
I have a talk where I discuss some of these discrepancies and where they came from and how they come out. And my last slide is a picture of an elaborate Bible. And on the cover, I put God's Baseball Encyclopedia because that's the only way we're going to find out.
So which number did you use, Sean?
I don't know. I could have to look that up. I don't know. So, I mean, we use Pete Palmer's, so we have the same data. Yes, we use Pete Palmer's data.
By the way, what's your name?
Sean Watson.
Oh, boy, I didn't recognize you.
But, yeah, we use Pete, I think, is the goal. And he incorporates a lot of what you do, right? So, I mean, I think Pete's the goal. So, you know, he's not quick about it.
Yeah.
Herman, in one of the papers you wrote for Baseball Research Journal, you were looking at Hank Greenberg's, actually a couple times, right? You looked at Hank Greenberg's RBI totals. And the last point, if I recall, was that another source was not, you came up with a number that they wouldn't agree with.
Sure. In 1937, according to my research, Hank Greenberg had 184 RBIs, and I forget the specific game where the difference between 183 to 184 occurred. But I provided all the information to Dave and Tom. They concurred with me, and RetroSheet has incorporated 184 for Hank Greenberg. Subsequent to that, Dave went to the Hall of Fame Library and photocopied all of Isa Minger's. He was a scorer for the Philadelphia Inquirer of North America, one of those papers, and he had all the score sheets. And Dave copied it, and it's in the score sheet. It's maybe not RBI, but you can see it's crystal clear. Greenberg batted in for, I forget the player's name now, it's an RBI.
That's just one more source.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be wrong, just like a newspaper.
That's right.
Make a mistake on a scorecard?
Yeah, of course. But it's not that particular game. I know there's at least two errors because besides the Greenberg RBI error, there's also an error for Rudy York. Rudy York, I think, had only one RBI in that game, and everything is right. It's crystal clear, irrefutable, but the official records show him with two. And I don't, sometimes it's a mix up of player, one player to the other. I'm not certain how it is, but that the official record for that game are definitely wrong for Rudy York. And you can argue, you know, forever if you want on Hank Greenberg, but anyway, so that's the Greenberg situation for that 837 RBI. For Gehrig, so Greenberg now has 184 RBIs, and that will be what's in retro sheet on Baseball Reference. And Baseball Reference and retro sheet are quoted frequently in the press, and when you, I mean, I've seen it, I don't look for it, but I come across it now and then. Hank Greenberg had 184 RBIs in 1937. Oh, cool. So they've used retro sheet or Baseball Reference as their source. 184 in 37 tied the 184 that Gehrig had in 1931, except that in 1931, Gehrig actually had 185. And that's also in Retrosheet and Baseball Reference now. I mean, we found that error, passed it on to Dave and Tom. They concurred, and it's in Pete's database now, so...
The other part that you haven't really talked about is there's the different records that we write down and Sean writes down. There's also the official record. And the official record changes about once every ice age. The last time that I was a part of getting an RBI record change was Hack Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Hack Wilson went from 190 to 191. How can you probably know that story? Somebody found an account in multiple Chicago papers of an RBI that was not in the official record. So it's documented completely. This APA is presented to Elias, and CMRC law says, well, we're not going to make the change because he may not, you need to look at RBIs that he had in every hand. Because, yes, I agree they're wrong. They could have other RBI mistakes in the other direction, and you don't know unless you look at every one. Well, I got every one. CMR, I got them all. All right. Any change?
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to get to do. And I understand the logic. There could have been one going the other way. And so like, when I finally convinced him, we went over them line by line. That was great meeting. And so we finally made the change that we had all this. But short of that, and that's the official record. And so you're going to use the official record for Pujols or somebody, or who do you use this? You use our numbers, which are, I think, better based in evidence than just photocopying what's off the data sheets from 80 years ago. Or are you going to take one that's got an official stamp on it? Huh? Depends on what your purpose is.
And
I noticed that Sean Fulman recently restored Radburn to 60 wins. Are you going to do it too?
I have no idea. I don't care.
Just follow up on Dave's point about the official records. Official does not mean accurate. It means it's from the office. It's from the office.
Authority.
Yeah. And also about Elias changing records. They have changed. I mean, they have changed records that or numbers for let's say errors that I found in their in Gehrig's RBI records, Ruth's RBI records, and just recently. For 1909, I actually mentioned this last year at the Pittsburgh Convention, that I discovered an error in Donnie Bush's run score total in 1909. He did not have 114, he had one more, 115. And Ty Cobb, who had been long been shown having 116, actually has 115 because of a math error, which Elias had corrected some time ago. I sent the information to Elias, and they concurred with my conclusions, and they have, if you look in the record book now, it'll show Cobb and Bush as co-leaders in 1909 with 115 RBIs. So they do make changes. You need to have the data to support it. If you don't have the data, they'll ignore you. Yeah.
I can't let that go.
Okay, please.
1966 or 67, we find two extra strikeouts when we came out.
Oh.
That's pretty recent. And it's not only that the data sheets are wrong, there's a word I don't use a lot. I have score sheets from four sports, from four sports writers and teams that were sitting in the park. I said, I told Seymour, I think that Matt has too much strikeouts. Yeah, we've known about that for some time. I said, then why are we going to change? Well, we don't want to embarrass them. So Seymour doesn't like taking things away from people for adding bad stuff. So he's ultimately happy to add RBI to Matt Wilson. Taking the run away from Cobb is very unusual. Like Roger Maris in 1961, his RBI goes off, but he doesn't want to take that one away because it would be embarrassed. So that's a fabulous insight to the way he was.
They did. Elias did make those changes for Maris and Mantle later on. They now show the correct RBI total for Maris and the run score total for Maris and Mantle. And a consequence. Pardon?
Not Mantle's strikeouts.
Okay, I don't know that. But a a consequence of that was Jim Gentile had a clause in his contract that if he tied for the American League lead in RBIs, he would get a $5,000 bonus. And as it turned out, when you take away one RBI from Maris in 61, that makes, well, not a tie then. What was,
they were tied 141.
Well, 141, yeah, okay. And so therefore, Gentile was entitled to a $5,000 bonus, and the Orioles did pay him retroactively, you know, many years later for the Yeah, it's a nice story. Nice story. Yeah. Any other records items that, you know, we want to talk about? Or we have a few minutes left, I guess. Yeah.
I heard, and I can't figure out which way to go. On a ground out, like 4-3, did they ever give sacrifices on ground outs other than bunts?
No.
Yeah, I don't know of any of that way. Although, I've seen it stated that in a one account will say he advanced the runner with a ground out, and another one will say he bunted. So
bunt doesn't necessarily make it a sacrifice.
That's right, right. So sometimes I've seen some nebulous stuff there. It's regardless, it's an RBI for runner scores, whether it's a ground out or a bunt. It's, whether it's, you know, it may or may not be an at bat, but it certainly is an RBI.
Well, for several years, even when their sacrifice fly was in play, they would record a single number for sacrifices that was the sum of both sacrifice flies and sacrifices.
That's right.
So if I remember, 1927, Gary, in the official one, Day by Day, has 15 sacrifices listed. And everyone would bet that those are 15 sacrifice flies, right? Well, it turns out that five of them are sacrifice bunts that we have a play-by-play for Yankee. So five of those are sacrifice bunts. My favorite one is in the first inning of a game with Big Rick on base, Gary Bunting. In 1927, fine. Because Bill Ruggins is a genius. So that's what I'm going to show for the official record.
And then how about why did they show the sacrifice hits instead of bunts? What was the beginning of that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not. Yeah, it's not a hit. Yeah. Okay, we have a couple minutes left, or we can adjourn.
Is Trent present at this convention?
He is not. That's why I'm here in his stead. Okay, hey, great discussion. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you guys all next year. Thanks.